Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what that was, Rex, but that's what it said.
Okay. The song ended? Yeah. Or are we greening?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we live on air or what?
Yes, we are, Carrie. Yes, we are.
Oh, God. Okay.
Hi, everybody.
I guess something screwed up. All right. Welcome back, my friend, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's oldpoetry.com. And there you should find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild love, blue, nature, and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us at 1 p.m. on Wednesday for Keeping It Brief, then come back later that evening to enjoy The Art of Seduction. Thursday is a split between Inner Craft, the Soul and Art with Rich and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday is a split between Gray Eyes, Howling at the Moon, and the Canadian Moms, bringing you Bad Company, and Exploring Aphasia with Captain B2 and Bobby. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30, 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. And take a walk on the wild side Tuesdays. Join Jeremy as he brings you the headline ball on Thursday. Break on through with Pam on Friday. And, sit in with a face and a babble as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint on Saturdays. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. And that was a bit funky coming in. All right, Gene, how you doing? Uh-oh.
Hello, Rex.
Oh, there you are.
How are you tonight? Yes, I was.
I wasn't quite ready for the song to kind of disappear halfway through it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Crazy stuff. Maybe I mixed it up or messed it up when I went to load it. Maybe I didn't give it a song. But that usually doesn't happen. God knows. I don't know. Strange stuff. Strange stuff, I tell you, in my world. And hello, Pam. Welcome to the party.
Glad to be here. Hi, Gene. Hi, Rex.
How you doing? How you doing?
I am doing great. Looking forward to hanging out with both of you. And very cool intro song. I thought you handled that quite well, flipping as soon as you realized that you were on air.
Probably wasn't quite expecting it. Since shit does happen, I guess, shit does happen.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's like the one time Gray and Lou were doing a show for Jessica, and I had picked out the song, and it was a heavy metal song, which was something she'd liked. But I forgot to tell Gray that in the middle of the song, there was a spot where it went quiet, really, like, silent. And then she went into this raging scream. So he started his introduction, and he's in the middle of his introduction, and all of a sudden, it's like, rah, heavy metal scream.
Oh, God. It's a little unnerving.
So, yeah, stuff like that definitely happens.
I have all kinds of stuff like that happen to me all the time. It happened the other night. The other night I labeled somebody's work for somebody else's name. I don't know how I did that either. But Eric Svensson never sounded so feminine or female. Or I was like, what is this? Yeah, that's crazy. But, you know, I do reach. I don't know how I do it, but I do it. You know, crazy stuff. So forgive me, Eric. I confess my sins on air. Anyway. Yeah, Rex, so tell us about tonight's just tell us where you're coming from when you put it all together. That's a good way to put it, I guess.
All right. I figured it was appropriate since the everybody's pounding heavy on the drums of war. So why not get into a little anti-war songs to kind of counteract that narrative. I figured on the Electric Funeral, since you've got everybody and their brother dropping in on nuclear attacks and all that crap flowing out there. So you know what? I'll lead off with that. The rest are definitely all songs about anti-war from Country Joe and the Fish. The Fish cheer that he did at Woodstock, that was part of the mix. There's Born in the USA, which everybody considered an anthem for being born in the USA, which it was actually an anti-war song generated because of the soldiers coming home from Vietnam. And then you got Rooster was about the helicopter pilots in the M16, guns they held on the ships while they traveled through the jungles. And War Pigs was, well, God, you're looking at 1970 with that one from Paranoid from Black Sabbath. And what else did we have? Gimme Shelter from the Stones. How grass the grows, how does the grass grow from David Bowie? What was going on in Europe way back when? What else we got there? What other ones did I pick? Orange Crush, that was a different song from by REM. And what else we did? Fortunate Son, God, that goes way back. Was 1969, I think. 68, 69,
yeah.
from Creedence Clearwater. And even Where Have All the Flowers Gone, I had somebody pick up on that one for something that's really early, going back with Peter, Paul, and Mary. So
yeah,
people understand, and they picked out on what they thought was they had going on as far as where they wanted to go with their songs. So
nice.
It was a nice mix of stuff.
Yes, yes, it was, and it did vary from era to era, decade to decade, and I appreciated that about it. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, we got another caller. We have Dexter on the line. Hello, Dexter.
Hello.
And how are you?
Hey, Dex, how you doing, Bubba? Pretty good. How are you? Great. Glad you called.
Glad I could be here. Who's all on here? Phil, Pam, and Rex? Or is Pam just on the board?
That's us.
Oh, no, I'm here. Hey, Dexter.
Right. Hey.
Glad you could be here.
Yeah, great.
Hey, Musketeers and Dexter. Yes.
Yep.
That's right. He can be the fourth Musketeer.
There you go.
He can be the Musketeer.
Absolutely. So, yes. So now.
And I should mention, since Gary Rossington just recently died, he was the last surviving original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. So next week will be a tribute night for Gary Rossington from his early days with Lynyrd Skynyrd to his days with the Rossington Collins band. So dig into that. I got 10 songs on the board to play with from the early days right through the back end of things. So that one's next week.
Very cool. That's very cool. I tell you what, are you ready to get the party started? If not, I can kind of hang on.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put this leading song in up called The Unknown Soldier. And here goes.
Wait until the war is over and we're both a little older. The unknown soldier. Breakfast where the news is read. Television, children fed. Unborn living, living dead. Bullet strikes the helmet's head. And it's all over. For the unknown soldier nestled in your hollow shoulder, the unknown soldier. We'll be right back.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Haven't heard that in a while.
Gotta get a little nervous. I'm not going to say nothing no more. Stare at the number.
You got caught by Grady right in the middle of it.
Yes, I did. Got a nice lull there, and I went, oh. Yeah,
funny,
and then
how
I went,
we were talking about that, too.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Well, Pam should have sent me a heads up saying it's going to happen again. Yes, Pam, see, you should have warned me. Forewarned me, my friend. Forewarned me. Let me see now. What do I have to go with?
I got this one right here.
By Betty Page?
Lost Soldier by Betty Page. And that one's for Pam. Aha.
Okay. There you go.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm always happy to read for Betty. And this is Lost Soldier by Betty Page. Into the unknown, soldiers weeping lost at sea, haunting these islands, screams violently out of jet black deep darkness, spinning rings of fire, annihilation, obliterating their minds, now so very lost. Waves consume, they drown, swimming through their memories, shattered in pieces, worlds now in chaos, bodies are left, minds are gone. But what they've lived through, living as zombies, they can't unsee what they've seen. Drugs won't numb the pain, unjust rape, murder, crying, begging to spare them, please, fell on deaf ears. All is fair in war. Innocence lost, forgotten, changed now forever. Haunted souls wander, lost soldiers still live in war, as if they've not left. End poem.
Great read, Tim. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we kick it off with you, please?
Yeah, this is a great and powerful write, tackling soldiers coming back and having PTSD. I just watched an interview of a guy from Vietnam talking about this stuff, and it just, you could just see that in the look in his eyes that he had seen some very terrible things, you know, and so it affects them mentally, physically, They might have gotten out of the war, but it definitely is. They never got out of it completely. So it's just a terrible thing, just a tragedy, but very well done on the right.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dex. And Gene, how about you?
Yes, I'm coming to this space here. I think that Betty did a great job expressing this piece. She says, tribute to all those who deal with PTSD, all of that's all victims of war. And that's very true, because no one comes back the same. They're blessed enough to come back, but I don't think that any of them ever come back the way they left. And I think that she hit on those notes very well. It's a powerful write, and I think that Betty did a nice job with that. So thank you, Betty, very much.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is definitely a powerful write. Short, impactful lines. I like how she's written about the mental illness, the PTSD, and the homelessness that's so many veterans go through, and it's such a sad commentary, and of course it needs to be sad. The truth needs to be spoken, that how easily their service is forgotten, and how it just seems like oftentimes they're cast aside. And it definitely also speaks on the idea that the war, they may have physically left it, but mentally, emotionally, they're still there. They're still suffering in that moment. I really like waves consumed, they drown, swimming through their memories, shattered in pieces. Those three lines perfectly to me described what I imagine it would be like to have PTSD. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. Betty did a couple of things with this. She didn't roll with just the singularity. She rolled with that opening stanza, rolls right out of World War II, soldiers weeping, lost at sea, haunting these islands. And then right into the second one, out of jet black deep darkness, spinning rings of fire. So we get napalm in Vietnam. And every other walking on down hits on everything that's happened since then. You get you've got Bosnia in here. You've got the Middle East with Iraq and Afghanistan and all that stuff as well. So she hasn't just run with a singularity. She's hitting all those unknown soldiers from World War II onward and forth, because everything used to be battle fatigue. World War I, World War II, it got into something else. And then it eventually ended up into PTSD. But it's all been the same thing. From it amounts to what destroys a mind while trying to keep themselves alive, and the things they've seen, because each war has been even more debilitating than the previous, based on the technological advancements in weaponry, and things haven't got any better, and they haven't got any different. It's still about destruction, and what's left is the destruction of the mind and those, like Pam said, those who are not taking care of on the home front, because they're the ones that actually went. They're the ones that lost the limbs, the arms, the legs, the bits and pieces of their mind still wander. So nicely done, Betty. Some things never leave you. And that's why a lot of these guys don't ever talk about the war itself, because most people can't relate to what they have seen and what they have had to do in order to stay alive and keep their buddies on the left and the right alive next to them.
Yeah.
Well done, Betty. Thank you very much.
All right. Great comments. Absolutely. Now, Rex, the next one that goes with that song is a piece by Selena, and I see that you requested that you read this. So there it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, cool. It is called Greater Love by Selena. He who saves one life, the world entire. In evening's waning light, sky ablaze with the sun's swan song, I still hear him, babbling incoherently to spectral shadows, winding around his feverish, frenzied mind. Their woeful whispers carried upon the weary wind, weaving threads of derangement, reaping his sanity slowly and seditiously, leaving him bereft of any lingering grains of hope. I still see him, as I always will, still and cold where he fell, anonymous to all, yet known by every soldier who fought by his side and all others. He is unknown, yet he is every man, for on that battlefield, all were brothers without names. A mass of shrapnel-torn bodies melding into one, where one ended, another began, united in unspeakable horror only we shared. I still smell him. The cloying air infused with the stench of him, his deep scarlet essence irrigating the earth as each drop flowed, more of him ebbed until, pallid and hushed, he lay upon me, a shell of the soul that had dwelt within him, the dark angel spreading his ebony wings, cradling his battered spirit within them, carrying him to a realm where all are washed of guilt and sin. I still think of him, of his final, solitary, supreme sacrifice, how his body convulsed as he leapt upon mine, as I looked the deliverance of death in the face. Bullets etched with my name he took in my stead. This unknown soldier who surrendered his life so I could live, before the light of blue eyes diminished, fading to gray. As I held him in my arms, he whispered, Gresse Liebe hat keine Mann. Greater love hath no man. And poem. All right, Pam, why don't we kick it off with you?
Okie dokie, Smokey. First of all, great read there, Rex. A wonderful write by Stelena. I like how she gets into the mind of the soldier who's been there in the war. I'm guessing either World War One or World War Two, and she just, I really like the pauses she creates with the lines like, I still hear him, I still see him. And it makes me, of course, think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, when someone asks Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And it's that idea. It's the idea that we are made enemies because people in higher powers, you know, decide there are going to be wars, decide who our enemies are going to be, you know, or whatever, for whatever cultural reasons, our enemies are pre-decided for us. But in this moment of battle, in this moment of war, surrounded by death, this man who is an enemy becomes a brother, and just a powerful and emotive right. Great word choicing all the way through. But I really like how she describes the air here, the cloying air infused with the stench of him, his deep scarlet essence irrigating the earth. As each drop flowed, more of him ebbed until pallid and hushed he lay upon me, a shell of the soul that had dwelt within him. Just amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was an incredible write. And it really kind of touches along the lines of something that, you know, I kind of really believe in. And it's, you know, they talk about why would somebody that's a total stranger dive in the way of a bullet and save another total stranger's life. And they say it's because in that moment, they see themselves in that other person, you know, maybe as part of this connected soul, maybe that we all are connected in some way. And I heard also in war that it's so difficult that you'd think that you'd be easier to shoot the enemy, but they also then start seeing them a person just like them, even though they might not be the same race or they might be on the other team. They realize in that moment when they take, you know, kill the other person that was a person just like me on the other side. And so I think that this is just a powerful, right? The wording in it, the imagery, and just she puts you right there in the moment. And I thought it was incredible.
Excellent, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, how about you?
Where do I begin here? I really think that this was just an incredible write, very poignant. I thought that it was amazingly expressed, drawing emotion from each with each line from all of us, I believe. And I had to thank her so much for sharing her gift with all of us, as usual. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece. You know, she pulled it together beautifully. And I read in her AN, it says, in this piece, I wanted to imagine that this enemy soldier, losing all hope for his own survival, decided to make the ultimate sacrifice, thereby saving another, albeit the foe, and in turn, maybe saving his own soul. And I think that she absolutely captured all of that. So wonderful job, and thank you so much, Stelena. Yeah, amazing. Amazing work.
Oh, absolutely. And something that Dex said, remember, bro, back in World War One, they had a Christmas armistice, and they shared both the enemy and foe alike, or enemy and friend, whatever you want to think about. They shared Christmas together in food and rations and whatever they had in wine and so forth across the enemy lines. So they got out of the trenches and held Christmas as a peaceful moment to enjoy between brothers in arms, whether they were together as one side or together on the other side. So that kind of hit that note too, with that last note of Gresse Liebe hat kein Mann. as she put Moran in with the thought of offering up his life, knowing the war is lost on one side, he might offer something a little bit more to the other side, because you know on his end, things will be a little bit darker going forward, and maybe a lot darker. So the idea of that offering up those single lines, I still hear him, I still see him, I smell him, I think of him, offers up also a touch of kindness in the moment, knowing that that sacrifice was made for your benefit, and even though it was from an enemy combatant, it still holds a lot of weight, as if it was one of your friends. So it still brings on that note, we are still made of a singularity, the same DNA. Nicely done, Stelina. Thank you very much. All right. Damn. We got off to a great start there. All right, where are we going to go next? Oh, I think I know. I know what's next. We're doing a little Bruce song.
Like, who the hell are you talking to is what I'm thinking. Okay, we're going to put the next song, which is Born in the USA. Oh, my God. Getting me all messed up. That's so flat. Here we go. Yeah. on.
Nicely done, Bruce. Thank you.
All right. That was messed up. Sounded messed up to me. Hopefully it's my ears. Yes. So, Dex, I have a piece here, if you would read it for us. This is called Born in the USA by Paul Brott. So here we go. Hello, damn it, Dave. Okay, Dex, whenever you're ready, man.
All right, Born in the USA by Paul Brott. A war, we admit now, was such a mistake. Voiding its draft was deemed commonplace. He claimed a concussion, still filled out the form. College intentions became the new norm. Ocean County College invited Bruce in. Different from others, Bruce couldn't settle in. New Jersey loved what he brought to their clubs. Beach-born rock and roll, many women, a lot of buds. Not having fought still bothered young boss. Draft avoidance was still par for the course. Someone else perished while he played guitar. How could he heal such an internal scar? Born in the USA was his answer, bleeding his heart like a prophetic cancer. Confused politicians with limited minds, hungry heart with a few ties that bind. Got in a little hometown jam, so they put a rifle in my hand, sent me off to a foreign land to go and kill the yellow man. End poem.
Great read there, Dex. Thank you very much. And Pam, we're going to start with you.
Okie dokie. I like this. Great read, Dexter. I thought it was really cool the way and that he ended with the song lyrics from the song, that last part. But his own stanzas all the way through, you know, there's a nice flow to it, great imagery. I really like how he delves into that part of history of the Vietnam era that talks what it was like to have no choice. And so, you know, as far as the draft goes, and, you know, and so it was that point where, you know, the idea of how it became, as you said, became commonplace to try to avoid the draft. And that first stanza, war, we admit now, was such a mistake. Avoiding its draft was deemed commonplace. He claimed a concussion still filled out the form. College intentions became the new norm. And I really like how this is not only a tribute to the song itself, but to Bruce Springsteen, who is, by the way, just one of the most awesome. So I'm glad that Paul was inspired by this song, but also to the idea of you know, finding a way to, in some way, whether it's through your music or your poetry or whatever it is, speaking up about what you believe in. So, excellent write and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Pam. And Gene, how about you?
Jeez Louise. I think it was a well-penned piece and a good take on the prompt. You know, he spoke his mind and said what he had to say, and I think he did it well. So nice work, Paul. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Gene. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting poem, and I thought he'd brought a lot of background to it that I thought was, you know, intriguing. It's always interesting to hear that sometimes these biggest hardcore USA pumping patriots are ones that just dodge the draft. You know, I mean, what's the NRA guy? What's the gun guy down there too? He's another rock star. What's that guy's name again? He's the gun. Anybody? The Seeger? I mean, no. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He's like the main gun guy, NRA guy, and he has his own rock band and stuff.
I know
anyway,
what you're talking about. I saw him in concert, but I can't remember his name.
He
sang Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah.
Sweaty.
What's his name?
Ted Nugent.
Shit, I have to remember his
Ted
name.
Nugent.
I always...
Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent is another
one. Yes, that's
one.
It. Ted Nugent. Yes.
And he's another guy that dodged the draft. Now, like I said, everybody can feel the way that they'd like about their music, and maybe you can view it as a from a point of view of contributing. Like I would be dishonest if I didn't say a part of me kind of feels like, you know, you're adding to this war machine kind of with your music, and it was something that you. Didn't want to be a part of. So part of me, like I said, I can't help but feel a little bit, I don't know, against some of those guys. But anyway, I thought that this was a fantastic write.
Absolutely. As you said, he drops some knowledge in this. And the fact that Bruce turned 18, it would have been 1967 when everything was getting kicked off and moving on up the ladder, so to speak. So how that went down, I don't know, and it really doesn't matter at this point, because he wrote this in 1984, I think it was, so it's a good 9 years after the war ended, yet still things weren't going well for those that came home,
mm-hmm.
And this kind of note to, like you got that, that tidbit from the song at the end, I got in a little hometown jam, so they put a rifle in my hand, sent me off to a foreign land to go and kill the yellow man. From that flavor of it wasn't just a foreign land. It was 12,000 miles away, and you don't know what you're fighting for. And the funny part is, if there hadn't been that assassination November 22nd, 63, probably wouldn't have happened, because Kennedy wanted to pull out from Vietnam. He could see how the French had been decimated over the years, and they pulled out. Yet, like you said, war hawks are war hawks. When money's concerned, hey, it's big business, and everybody made out big, except the boys that went over and eventually came home one way or another. So, nicely done, Paul. Thank you very much. All right. Where
Alrighty.
Would you like to go?
Well, the next song I'm going to put up is War Pigs, and I'm just going to count the numbers. Here we go.
In their masses, just like witches at black masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh Lord, yeah. darkness world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sin. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh Lord, yeah.
Title of that song was Valthurgis. He's a butler who wrote it, kind of likened it to the Christmas for Satanists. And he thought war was the ultimate evil of Satan. And he was also afraid back in 1970, since conscription had been ended in Britain and the Nam War was raging, that he'd be called up to take his part.
Mm-hmm. On the board and from you, Rex. Thanks for sharing both of you. Okay, now that next piece I'm going to put up, Rex, I'm going to have you read. And this is called In War, That's Just the Way It Goes by Dammit Dave. So whenever you're ready.
In War, That's Just the Way It Goes by Dammit Dave. We pray for peace, yet dressed for war. There's silence on the battlefield, but don't you fret, there will be more, for neither side has yet to yield. As death comes crashing through the line, the generals all joke and laugh. The field becomes a bloody shrine, but they don't fight their senior staff. The soldier's armor is no match for bullets labeled with their names, but they find solace in the fact their wives could file insurance claims. Rumors of a ceasefire spread, the hope of all troops unspoken, for they know that bureaucrats spout vows that are most often broken. Dead bodies lie as royal rugs, as brothers fall like dominoes. The coward cries, the hero shrugs. In war, that's just the way it goes. And Dave, why don't you kick us off, please? Oh, Dave, Dex. Sorry.
No problem. I was going to say, Dave's on here to comment on his own poem.
I know. You just hit me up with a little Cheech and Chong here. Dave's not here, man.
No, I thought that this was a great, great write. And, you know, we pray for peace, yet dress for war. There's silence on the battlefield, but yet you fret. There will be more, for neither side is yet to yield. You know, I got to imagine that there's kind of that calm before the storm of when you're getting ready to start shooting the few first rounds. But he definitely, you know, goes back and forth on who's dying and who's actually benefiting from war. And, you know, the coward cries, the hero shrugs. You know, a lot of guys that get the awards and they get awarded the Purple Heart, all these kinds of things. For the most part, what I've heard is that they say that the real heroes died, or were my brothers that died next to me. And so I think that was maybe the comment where he says the hero shrugs, because the heroes don't always feel like the heroes in war compared to the guys that died next to them. So very well done.
Absolutely. You got that right, Dave. Thank you very much. And Pam, what about you?
Yes. Wonderful read. Great write by Dave. Great rhyme and flow, strong imagery, great takeoff of the song. I'm glad he was inspired by this song. It was one I actually considered writing to, but I like to try to write to songs on your shows that other people haven't grabbed yet. And I was glad to see that Dave was inspired by this particular one. And I really feel like he captured the essence of the song, you know, especially in that, you know, the, what was it? I said that I was especially drawn to the second and fourth stanzas, you know, especially the second stanza where it says, as death comes crashing through the line, the generals all joke and laugh, the fields become a bloody shrine, but they don't fight their senior staff. And then where it says, for they know that bureaucrats spout vows that are most often broken. It's the idea of the monetary gain and the political footing that people get when the common man is sacrificed to war. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Here I am. Yes, I thought it was a poignant piece by Dave. His points were well made, and he did a great job with this. I actually read the last two stanzas. But the next to the last and the last one I thought were very, just very well stated. But dead bodies lie as royal robes, as brothers fall like dominoes. The coward cries, the hero shrugs, and more, that's just the way it goes. It was really a powerful piece. And I have to say, Dave did an excellent job to this, with this, through the prompt, and probably just through recollection.
Absolutely. There's a couple of things in here that I kind of gravitate to. There's that notion, the last thing you hear and understand is that bullet with your name on it. And they hit that with the bullets labeled with their names. And then that that notion to insurance claims, before you go into battle, you take care of everything. You're required to fill out all the paperwork for insurance, how you want everything to be bled out, so to speak, should you not come home. And there's also another note that's something that Dex hit upon. The coward cries, the hero shrugs, and war. That's just the way it goes. You're right, Dex. that note to the hero shrugs. A lot of them, they may go under into war in under one banner or another, but it isn't about the banner. It isn't about the country. It isn't about the flag. It's about those guys on either side of them. They're all there for one reason and one reason alone, and that's to make sure the guy next to them on either side is safe and unharmed, and they fight for each other to live another day so that they may come home. And a lot of people miss out on that. And you're right. The idea of the hero shrugging, it's because of their fellow brothers in arms who did not come home. They don't feel like they're the heroes. They feel like they didn't leave enough on the field. Nicely done, Dave. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're coming back your way.
Okay. Well, Dex, I'm going to put the next one up and ask you to read it, if you wouldn't mind. And this piece is called Thunderstruck Madness by Poetic Creation.
Could you come back to me really quick? Could you have somebody else read this one?
Okay. All right, then. I guess I'll give it a read.
Sure, I'll do it.
Thunderstruck. No. I got one for you next, or coming up. So, No, we're good. I had it lined up, so we're good.
Okay.
Thunderstruck Madness. Shadows unite to create the total darkness, because light delivers clarity and sharpness. Evil always pushes to further destruction, but the righteous rise to reconstruction. In fields of judgment, bodies are burning, cogs and gears and motes chains turning, driving the machine, enslaving mankind. Indoctrination brainwashes the unfit mind. Politicians have power, but they are pawns. Blind justice, they are trapped inside a game. But they'll not burn until the light is dawn, because they deny justly feelings of shame. They look down on us from ivory towers, claiming they are more powerful by the hour, furthering inhumanity, creating more war. Politicians and the rich possess a dark core. Lightning flashes before a thunder comes. The blind can't see once they become numb. Sick, twisted minds create the war just for fun. It dies to the sound of a thundering drum. To more of insanity this world becomes, exploding bombs and more machine guns. Too few care about another mother's son. Those that claim power are the wicked ones. End of poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, Pam. What do you think?
Oh, yes, definitely a great read by Gene. Another one I really like. This is a great lineup. I read through the poems earlier today, and it's a great lineup of poetry. Strong lines. I like how this one, and it's got a strong emotional impact. I like how this one speaks on the idea of those who heartlessly profit from the death of those sent off to war. I particularly like, they look down on us from ivory towers, claiming they are more powerful by the hour, furthering inhumanity, creating more war. Politicians and the rich possess a dark core. And then lightning flashes before thunder comes. The blind can't see once they become numb. Sick, twisted minds create war just for fun. Good dies to the sound of thundering drums. And I like that stanza because it not only captures the intensity and the mindset of war, but I feel like it also gives a nod to the song itself. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was a great write. There was something said along the lines of, poisoning the unfit mind. And, a lot of times that's what it is. It's the poor, the undereducated, the kind of desperate and don't have any other options that are the ones that are kind of sent to war. And they buy into to doing it, they just are not very educated and to know that they're really just walking into kind of being screwed over and used. So I thought it was a great write.
Thank you, Dex. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, now I can scroll down and read that. I thought it was a nicely written piece, well expressed, and his point of view was well stated. And I grabbed up the, I think it's the closing line, if you remember, but I haven't put it down yet. The more of insanity this world succumbs, exploding bombs and more machine guns. Too few care about another mother's son. Those that claim power are the wicked ones. And that desire for power is what most wars start over. So I think you did a good job. So nice work, pieces. Thanks for sharing.
All right, Smooga, I think two things. I like the thought he went with Thunderstruck Madness, a little touch to AC/DC Thunderstruck. But he also dipped heavily into the song a little bit deeper on the angle. You're turning into, because you got a feeling to judge of bodies burning. And because it hits on that note of in the field, the body's burning as the war machine keeps turning. So he dug into the song a little bit and offered up a little bit more the thought with the blind, following the blind, so to speak, and the idea of what you just said, Gene, about power corrupting. But they don't feel that until it's the light of dawn, that note of their passing on into whatever is offered up to them past their time here on Earth. So it does walk a very darker tone and sticks very well to the song itself by offering up his thoughts generated from that song. Nicely done, PC. Thank you very much. All right. We're coming back to you.
Okay, I have to go back over here and recuperate my train of thought. Oh, okay, we're good. Okay, I'm going to put up another song. That's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to put up Rooster. So here we go.
Papa and I never really talked about the war at all. I asked him about it one time. He asked us about that tonight. I remember we were sitting on the porch drinking beer, and I think it was summertime or something, and I asked him a question.
Sometimes you think, what the hell are we doing here, right? I'm watching my friends die.
And he just said, you know, that's dead, so that line, let it be.
It's a weird experience, okay? And it's a sad experience. And I just hope nobody else has to go through it.
Thank you.
And Jerry Cantrell wrote that for his father who was in Vietnam. And his name was Rooster in school. And it also kind of hits on the notion of, while discharging an M60, it looks like a rooster tail when it comes out because of the red shots as well as the bullets. Anyway, this was kind of a healing note song for Jerry Kenshaw, who was estranged because back in the day, they left him because of the issues that Vietnam caused. So, and it brought him closer. All right, Gene. Nice, Dave. Thank you, man. You're absolutely right. Dave just dropped in the Vietnamese call to hunt the first airborne members, chicken men, because of the bald eagle on their sleeve. They had no other name for it. And Jerry Cantrell's father was part of the 101st Airborne.
Nice. And here we go. The next piece that goes with that song is one by Jenny Hunt, 2017, and it's a Vietnam M60 missing gunner. So put that up, and I have an audio to go with it. This is not.
They shot, we gotta get out of here. Won't die, not now, can't. Not over there. These boots were made for this walk, in the rain, enduring the Vietnam swamp. Sweating out strength and honesty, pouring out masculinity and bravery. What's left? Prudence, pride, possible positivity? Day after day to year after year in constant misery. These boots soaked, rain bleeding down my face. Change socks, marching on to do what I need to. Dead or alive, I'll come out of this black and blue. Branded a war hero, stained with disgrace. Left my family for PTSD and sore shoulders. Sinking support, scorned soldiers. This mess, I must push on through till I make my way back to you. Nothing can stop me from getting back. Not bombs nor grenades, we must stay on track. Avoid the enemy's minefields, gunpowder packed. I'm not going to die. I won't, I can't. Motivated by reminiscent images while asleep in my head, dancing at home is my true platoon. A troop sacrifice, no longer an honorable feat. Ain't no light at the end of battle's doom. Back home, they think we are monsters. Here, they come for our roosters. No, 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 not our M60 machine gunners. In Vietnam, we are not wanted. Welcomed home, shortly betrayed and berated. Blamed, blasted, belittled, we are abandoned. Nowhere anymore are we tolerated. For you, I'll keep fighting this bloody fight. Come hell or high water, with all my might. No one leaves unmarked from this war's dread. Already many men are gunned down dead.
Great read, Jenny. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you, Pete?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write, and really kind of brings us into the boots of, and puts us into the, to walk walk in the boots of a soldier, and just the different things that are going through their head, the different things that they're having to endure, even aside from the fighting, just the wet socks and just how difficult it was, you know, the foot issues that the soldiers had, but also too just the way that they're going to be treated when they got home, and just wanting to get out of this thing alive and get out of here somehow. I thought it was very well done and a great sound quality.
Thank you, Dex. And Pam?
Yeah, I was really glad that Jenny was inspired and also inspired to make a SoundCloud. Also, I have to say kudos to her for doing her research to write for this song. I think that's oftentimes, I mean, you don't always need to do research to write poems, but if you're writing about something you don't initially know about, to me, it's very important, and it can really add to the quality of the poem, and you can definitely see that here. And yes, she does bring up and give a great nod towards the fact of how important it was for the soldiers to take care of their feet and to have the good quality boots and socks. But even more important, she does delve into the rejection they dealt with them back home. It's, you know, amazing, hard-hitting imagery, a great write on the, written from the point of view of a soldier who is trying to survive. It speaks on the struggles of war, and it speaks on the hardships they faced after coming home, especially rejection. I really liked this all the way through, but that second to last stanza, you know, really stood out to me. Welcomed home, surely betrayed and berated, blamed, blasted and belittled, we are abandoned. Nowhere anymore are we tolerated. Great line, wonderful write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I think that Jenny did an excellent job with this piece all the way through. She made some great points in her stanzas throughout. But back home, they think we are monsters. Here they come for our roosters. No, 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 not our M60 machine gunner. In Vietnam, we are not wanted. Welcome home shortly, betrayed and berated. Blamed, blasted, belittled, we are abandoned. Nowhere anymore are we tolerated. That's a harsh truth. It really is. It's a harsh truth in that last stanza I read. Sad. Nobody should ever feel that way, you know. They tell you you're doing your duty, and then you come back, and people want to hate you for it. I don't know. I'm not the war girl here. But excellent SoundCloud, Jenny, and I think you did a fabulous job with this piece. Thank you very much for sharing it with us tonight.
Excellent. It was a couple of things. I know that she does hit on that, the idea of a rooster coming from the song. She also drops in, we got to get out of this place, the song by the animals back in the day. And these boots were made for walking, and dropped them in his notes too. As Pam said, it was good to have boots. But there was also a note from a lot of the guys came back with toe fungus from that war. And that's where the toe fungus epidemic around the States has continued on since then, which is just a side note. But that fourth stanza kind of rings a nice tone to it. Let my family put PTSD and sore shoulders, sinking support, scorned soldiers, this mess I must push on through till I make my way back to you. There's a nice solemn note in that. Well, not a nice solemn note. There's a real solemn note in that, because a lot of, even with the pushing to get back to you, a lot of them really didn't make it back mentally to get back to them. They end up alone and on the streets, which is because they were scorned, ridiculed, berated. When they came home at the airports, they were greeted by mobs of kids who didn't understand what they were going through or had gone through, but just called them child killers, rapists, and murderers for doing their duty and holding on to fighting for their country. They were mobbed with eggs, amongst other things, epithets, and just cursed as not real men, despite all they had been through. So nicely done, Jenny. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
I'm going to put on Jimmy Shelter. So here we go. Well, Dex, I'm going to ask you to read the piece for this one. And this is by Guilty, and it's called They Won't Be Satisfied, Little Sister. So here it goes, and whenever you're ready.
Okay. This is by Guilty, They Won't Be Satisfied, Little Sister. Woo woo, little sister. Watch you got cooking. What you got cooking? Beautiful baby in the womb. Make him a male child, and all is good. Woo woo, little sister. Better feed that little mister something more than Similac. I got a formula for the attack. Breed the boy big and strong. Don't care if you let his hair grow long. 'Cause when the clarion calls comes, I know where his shears are. Woo woo, little sister, don't you cry. His uncle will have an alibi to hunt and fill in the blanks. Need your boy to drive the tanks. Only last year we sold them weapons, but this year they claim independence. Somebody got to fill the body bags. Too snug for me and my policy. Woo woo, little sister, we will remember your little mister. Now, of course, we believe in equal rights. Your little girl is now in our sights. Woo woo, little sister, be a good girl and breed a litter. New grunts for the next war. We got more bullets and bombs than your local Walmart store. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Jeannie, why don't we start with you? Jean, you got to unmute.
It's a great piece by Guilty. What an interesting direction he went with this. The one that, where do I want to start? It's a little tough one. Woo woo, little sister, better feed that little mister something more than Similac. I got a formula for the attack. You know, breed the big boy big and strong. Don't care if you let his hair grow long. Because when the clarion call comes, I know where the shears are. It's kind of a tough pill to swallow, really, when you start reading it and you think, yeah. I mean, no one wants to give birth to a child, a male child, now a female child, I said at the end. You know, that's going to be taken out the war, and there you go. You know, so he really hits nerves with this piece, at least to me he does. And I think that it was well done, well stated, and an intriguing take on the prompt. And so nice work, Guilty, and thanks for bringing us back tonight. Definitely. Added to the show immensely. He's never been a food for thought, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked this one. I thought it had powerful lines and imagery. I thought the repetition of woohoo, little sister, and the flow of the language itself gave it a great lyrical quality. And, you know, to me, it spoke on the idea of encouraging women to push out the next generation that is to be offered up to the greedy gods of war. And I liked the word play in this. It had a real bite to it, especially in that stanza that Jean brought up, something more than Similac, I got a formula for the attack. And, of course, the duality of the nod to, hey, we're not sexist anymore. You can send your daughters off to war, too. And the end line with the, we got more bullets and bombs than your local Walmart store. That last line is a great commentary on how easy it is to kill one another nowadays. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got to read. How about you?
Yeah, I thought that this was great. Had some good sound quality, some clever lines. I thought it, you know, touched on a little bit of the money machine that war is. You know, it's if you're if you hold stock or you're the CEO of a company or of a company that makes tanks, it's very beneficial for you to sell a country the tanks and then make more tanks and then go in and kill them for it. And that's very often what we do. And it's just kind of the evolution of the role that women have become into the war machine in the last couple of years. So from the beginning to the last few years. So very well done.
Absolutely. It is a dark bite at the reality shown. It isn't just about, hey, breed the next generation. Yes, you can do that, but those that don't want to breed the next generation will become the next generation. And there's a nice little touch in that third to last stanza. Only last year we sold them weapons, but this year they claim independence. Somebody got to fill the body bags. Too snug for me and my policy, which walks the hint of what you just alluded to there, Dex. So, nicely done, Guilty. Thank you very much. All right, Jane. We're back at the end.
Okay, and the next song I'm going to be putting up is Fortunate Son. And here we go. Called Milkmaid Weeping in a Land of Forgotten Amputees by Pam Wright. So, Pam, would you be so kind to give us a read for us?
Absolutely. All right. Milkmaids Weeping, a Land of Forgotten Amputees. Milkmaids are weeping in a Midwest land of milk and honey. Blood is spilling, life is lost. Pure say that's just cost. Palms greased. Benjamin Franklin is on exchange. War, it is a rich man's game. I am not who you want me to be. I never want to know the thrill you know when you send the people off to battles where body parts fly higher than old Bessie. Brothers in arms, politics and their charms. Luck was once a lady, but now she's just a devil gnawing the ghost leg of a forgotten amputee. Don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what to sing. Don't tell me I don't believe in anything just because I don't believe in your war machine. I'm not you and I never will be. I won't follow your avarice agendas. You label your intentions as good with words like patriotism and national pride. I don't believe in labels, especially when the blood keeps running black and the dirt holds the bones of innocence lost. The phantoms keep marching, pale shadows of themselves, trophies that are put on shelves, unknown soldier in a tomb, folded flag, goodbye sons, goodbye grooms, greedy weasels, sphincter sniffers, lift the skirts and boot the drafters. Say it louder one more time for those in the back. You keep living the American dream, too lost in thought to hear the scream. I'm not you or you or you. I'm just the people sharing the wooden signs of violent roads paved in grenades and broken minds. You can't see beyond your monogrammed letter opener. Another donation dropped in the mailbox, easing the burden of those 30 pieces carried. You are the profiteers and plot writers, the condors that feed upon sensationalism. I'm not you, and for this I thank the Lord. End poem.
Great read. Thank you, Pam. And Dex, what do you think?
Wow, what a great piece. You really, really kind of elevated the piece, because it just, it is such an important topic, and it you make such many great points throughout this, but I just think that in the attitude and the tone that you wrote this entire write with and you just read with, it just added to that. It just added an extra oomph in there that that made all of the points hit even harder. Greasy weasels, sphincter sniffers, lift the skirts and boot to drift drafters. You have the still those clever wording and mixing in with some dark kind of humorous lines within there. So I thought it was just a great, very Pam, right?
Well, thank you very much.
Well said, Dex. Thank you. Jean, how about you?
Wow. Let me see now. Oh, I am not on you. That is the first for tonight. Unbelievable, right, Pam? I mean, it's so well expressed all the way through. Don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what to sing. Don't tell me I don't believe in anything. Just because I don't believe in your war machine, I'm not you, and I never will be. I won't follow your avarice agenda. Excellent, excellent. Well stated. I mean, I'm not even sure how else to put that. You know, you just put it out there, and you said it like it was. And I appreciated that. I thought it was great. Nice work.
Thank you, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Well said, Jean. Hi, Pam. You drop in little tidbits in here that ring true right on with "It ain't me, it ain't me, I ain't no fortunate son" with "Don't tell me what to say, I'm not you and never will be," and what else, "Say it louder one more time for those in the back." There's, and even that note to "Ghost Legs" was a nice touch, because it does ring on that note of the guys and gals who lost limbs, yet they still have those pains that float in their mind, and they, even though they see the limb no longer there, but the leg or the arm still hurts like hell. So that was a nice touch. And the idea of greed, monetary game, and policy, everybody walks into it, everybody walks out of it with a lot of Benjamins in their pockets, and they don't give a rat's hairy hind quarters about what it takes to get there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay. I have. Okay, next thing I'm going to put up is
we'll be right back.
Cranberries out of Limerick, Ireland, back in late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. All right. Well, the piece that goes with this, I'm going to ask Dex to read. It's called Zombie Zombie by Mulbeck. So, Dex, if you would, I'd appreciate it very much.
Sure.
Dex.
Oh, well, Rex or Dex?
Dex. The D with the D to the D.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
He's funny.
Go ahead, Dex.
All right. Here we go. Zombie, zombie, Mulbeck. In times of war and tragedy, the world can feel so dark and bleak. But music has a way to speak and bright light to the misery we seek. In the 90s, a band emerged with a powerful voice and words. The Cranberries sang of war and pain, and the song Zombie became their refrain. The beats is haunting, the melody strong, but it's lyrics that makes us belong to the violence caused by the IRA, innocent lives taken away. The chorus echoes in our ears as Dolores O'Riordan's voice appears. What's in your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. It's a call to action, to wake up and see the horrors of war and what it means to be a victim of violence, of hate and fear. The song reminds us that it's still here. Years have passed, but the message remains. In a world where conflict still sustains, the Cranberry Zombie is a timeless cry for peace, for love, for humanity to try. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Pam?
Yeah, definitely a great read. It's really cool to see a new name, and I'm glad they were inspired. I thought this was a great choice of a song to be inspired by. Great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery, an excellent write on how music can guide and encourage people into a new way of thinking. And I like how it speaks on the message of understanding and love. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean?
Oh, I thought it was just a well-written and very well-expressed piece throughout. And I think there's a rather long AN that goes with it. It says, this poem is a tribute to the Cranberries' iconic song, Zombie, which was released in 1994. The song speaks of the violence and tragedy caused by the IRA in Ireland and the impact it had on innocent lives. Dolores O'Riordan's haunting vocals and powerful lyrics continue to resonate with audiences today, reminding us of the ongoing need for peace and love in a world that still struggles with conflict and division. I think that she really did a great job with this, and I think she put all that into it and then some. So nicely done, Mulbeck, and thank you so much for sharing with us. We'll hope to hear you again soon.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, I think it was a perfect piece to kind of make your debut on. It's obviously a song and some information and some background that is very they hold very dear. It's obviously a very important song to them, and I thought that this write really did it justice. And so it had great rhyme and flow. It was very easy to read, and so it was very melodic. I thought it was very well done.
Oh, great comment. I agree with you there, Dex. It does walk a different path and a different tone, noting the war between the Protestants and the Catholics that raged for so many damn years and took so many damn lives to boot. So, well said, everybody. And Mulbeck, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okie doke. Well, let me put the next song on. Let's go. Cobbles to Glasgow. So here's that.
There's a graveyard by the station.
was about World War One, and how does the grass grow was about the training, as the soldiers are training for making their bones, so to speak. They chant, how does the grass grow, as they plunge their bayonets in the dummies.
Gotcha. Okay, Rex, I'm going to have you read this next one, and then we have one more I got to finish. And, Dex, I need you to read it for me.
Yep.
So here we go.
The War Has Come Home by Scott Sharp. They brought the war to you and me, carrying AK-47s in Chicago or in Tennessee. Ain't no trenches, ain't no tanks. They're killing us anywhere, everywhere. We didn't sign up for this, no recruitment officers, no draft. We didn't agree to this, just trying to have a drink, just listening to a concert, sitting in a classroom, or shopping for our groceries. It's like being in Vietnam, don't know where the enemy's hiding. It's a jungle out there, they are fighting. Elementary kids, grandmothers, they're killing us anywhere, everywhere. We didn't sign up for this, no recruitment officers, no draft. We didn't agree to this, just trying to have a drink, just listening to a concert, sitting in a classroom, or shopping for our groceries. We gotta fight back, we are under attack. We gotta fight back, yeah, we gotta fight back. And boom. And quick thought there, Pam?
Well, I like that he took a different approach there and wrote about the idea of the shootings that are going on in schools and local businesses in on our home turf, and talked about the motive lines on the idea of how it's difficult to feel safe nowadays. So excellent, right?
Thank you. Since we got one more, guys, leave your comments on Scott's piece for us, please. Gene, what do we got left?
Absolutely. Well, this next one I have to have Dex read because it's Dex's piece. So Dex, I need you to. Oh, what did I just do? Popsicle. Mm-hmm. I had to keep it clean. Okay, here we go. Okay, Dex, I'm putting it up for you, hon. And ready when you are.
All right, this wasn't written to a particular song. I wrote it like 20 minutes before the show, but I just wanted to get in. So this is just anti-war. Uncle Sam, I will do a lot of things, but I won't die for you. All the evil you've done in the lies you spewed. Young men you misled, leaving mothers' tears shed. Yet even then you hide the truth. I will never die for you. I'm the people with grit, fighting spirit at heart. I see firm in my beliefs, but I'll never die for you. Gladly protect my neighbor. Strike me dead if you choose. I will do a lot of things, but I won't die for you. End poem.
Great read, Dex. And I like that thought. You take a bite at the angle of propaganda and how it's used to inflict people into following a singularity, whether it's good or not. Nicely done. Pam, what do you think?
Oh, I like this. A powerful, hard-hitting right, definitely about propaganda, but also how you're not going to go to a rich man's war. And the idea, I like the end line where you say, gladly protect my neighbor, strike me dead if you choose. I would do a lot of things, but I won't die for you. And then young men you mislead, leaving mother's tears shed. Really emotional impact lines, intelligent lines that speak strongly on that whole idea of the young men and women sent off to war for other people's profit and other people's beliefs. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice, you said, Pam. All right, Gene, I guess we're at the back end of things. So I got two pieces left, right, I think?
Yeah.
I'm going to drop them on Friday.
Absolutely.
So we can have that.
But I think,
thank you, Dex and Pam, for coming on board. Great show, Gene. For Dave, Jen, Spallina, PC, for hanging out on the boards and commenting there, thank you very much. And we'll do this all again next week with Gary Rossington and his passing, unfortunately. So Good night, everybody. And thank you very much for joining us. And see you next week.
Okay. Thank you, Rex. Great job tonight and great topic. Dex, great right. Very well done. Pam, it's great having you join us all night. Same with you, Dex, absolutely. I have to keep saying Dexter now. Dexter. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
Good night, all.